722 News Radio WJPF, and see there, I did it. I was getting ready to say Illinois State Representative when which is not inaccurate, but then again, Senator Elect is more accurate when we talk to Terry Bryant this morning. Morning, Terry.
Good morning, Tom, and thank you. You're the first one to call me that this morning.
Yeah, good. I wanted to be honest with you. That's why I called you last night at 5:59, just to make sure I was in there first. You know,
I think we actually bled into the actual minute when it was accurate and you were the first.
All right. So that's which was my goal. You know, when it comes to being first, there's another first. Now, I may have first to congratulate you to Senator-elect, but, you know, I think this has been glossed over, probably due to the lack of a challenger, I'm thinking, but there's never been a downstate Illinois female senator before.
Yeah, the farthest south, I believe, was Deanne DiMuzio, and so she had a piece of Springfield. And, I have two granddaughters and a daughter, and the idea of being the first woman this far south is certainly something I'm very proud of and something I hope that those little girls in my life latch on to.
You know, without challengers, you had the opportunity to become engaged instead of just focusing on a singular job of getting elected. You had an opportunity to share your expertise and support other people. Let's take a look at this in two stories, with candidates and issue. And most prominent when it came to candidates was your support for David Overstreet for Supreme Court and pulling that off by a substantial margin.
That one was very, very important. Not just politically as a win, but it was very important to the balance of power for Southern Illinois. And I'm sure the listeners do as well, that Justice Carmeier appointed fantastic judges for this district, and Overstreet will continue to do that. And what an awesome and great man he is. I'm glad that people did not buy into the negative rhetoric and lies that were told about him, and it's very exciting this morning to have him there.
Yeah, and you know, and I have a tendency to compare everything to the Mag Carmeier race, and this had a level of intensity that wasn't in the Mag Carmeier race, especially when I saw that text come in this weekend on my phone going Halloween child predator alert or something along that line, and I'm like, I already know what this is and who this is, and I'm like, and there were some other things that I cringed and winced at on a regular basis during that campaign. I wonder if there's going to be post-election ramifications when it comes to this.
Well, I actually hope so, to tell you the truth, because the difference in the Mag Carmeier race is that Gordon Mag was not a sitting judge. And for Justice Cates to have allowed her campaign to say the absolute lies that were told by her campaign should have some kind of repercussions. So I think we're going to be looking at what can be done going forward to make sure. And judiciary, I mean, politics is politics, yes. But when you're a sitting judge, there are canons of law that have to be followed, and I believe that multiple ones were violated in that race.
Now, as I was saying just a moment ago, you've got the ability, without a challenger, to do a lot of other stuff. We talked about the candidate that came to mind first, but also the issue, and that is the fair tax, and it has lost. Do you see any way, because, you know, I played a bit from Paul Schimpf last night where he was trying to explain this 60 and 51% of X number of percentage didn't vote, so on the list goes. So fair tax has been defeated in the state of Illinois?
That's my understanding. I went to bed about 1:30 last night trying to keep an eye on some of the House and Senate races that were going on. There was a massive failure in Lake County. I don't know what caused it, but at 1:30 there was still only 3% of the vote counted. And then going on into the late hours, they had 20,000 early votes and absentee votes, and some of those are still being counted, I believe, right now. So as far as I can tell, the progressive income tax has been defeated, and I think it's been defeated pretty handily. So, you know, no matter what, it looks like it's only has like a 47-48% when I looked this morning. So I'm not really sure how there would be any formula that gets it to either the 50% plus one vote of those voting on the issue, I think is the formula, or 60% of all who voted. And I just don't see that the formula works in any direction. Well, so it's been defeated and should have been defeated.
And Tim Schneider and the GOP party put out a press release last night. Wire points too, but like I said, the GOP officially saying it's defeated. Here's the thing, and I'm seeing this as a vibe, we'll call it, for a lack of better word, and I saw it in the Wire Points press release from overnight, talking about no new revenues, and that now the legislature will be under more pressure than ever to change the all-tax, no-reforms position. That is also echoed in the GOP press release from last night, that look, without this, this forces the legislature to make the changes. We can't keep going on this way. And there's two outcomes here they talk about in these press releases. Either we deal with the reforms or we beg for bailouts in Washington.
Well, I don't think the bailouts from Washington are going to come. I believe, first of all, I believe that President Trump is going to be successful. And we'll find that out hopefully today. If not today, then within the next day or so. And so that in that regard, I don't think we'll see a bailout from the feds. I also think that there's a possibility, you know, yesterday when you and I were talking, that there could be 9 House seats in Illinois lost. And in reality, it looks like there might actually be 3 pickups for the Republicans in the House. Now, the Democrats will still have a supermajority in the House and the Senate, but it'll be very difficult to get any kind of spending that, you know, is unnecessary passed through the General Assembly at this point. That's been our problem. Our problem is that the General Assembly has had spenders in there, and then you're left with bills that have to be paid. And I just don't believe that there will be votes to allow them to continue to tax and spend and tax and spend. There will not be Republicans voting to go to the 5.95% or 5.9% that Governor Pritzker said would be necessary. It's not going to happen.
I want to read you a message I received from an elected official this morning. It says the governor and the Democratic-controlled legislature increased spending $6 billion while saying we need this tax increase to cover our proposed money shortage, while the governor's own numbers showed the tax increase would bring in a much-needed $5.4 billion. I did not graduate from Harvard, just SIU, but how can you spend more than you proposed to come in while you were already spending more than you were bringing into the coffers, and then whine about your credit rating dropping to a junk status and needing a bailout? How stupid is that kind of thinking?
Well, how stupid is it to go from knowing that that it's an uphill battle to get it passed? So, you know, the revenue is roughly $38.5 billion, somewhere around there. We managed to squeak through a $40 billion budget last year because of the Trump tax cuts. So we were able to see a one-time shot in the arm of $2 billion, $2.5 billion, something like that. So then what happens? They double down, and a budget gets run through this year for $42 billion. The thing is, I know they're smart people. I just don't think they can do any math. You know, or they just look at it and say, "Well, you know, we're going to pass on the tax increase later." You know, I obviously those who are listening, your listeners, are well educated, and they know that I did vote for a tax increase in the past. I voted for it because the Democrats that were in charge continued to spend. That is not going to happen again. They will continue to spend. They're not going to get bailed out. Their pet projects are going to have to be either going to have to be ended. Or, you know, we're going to have to look at some things like, you know, we're funding Medicaid for undocumented immigrants. That's insane. We are funding abortions 100% at any time of the pregnancy and for any reason. That is insane. We don't even get the 50% match from the federal government because it's because of the Hyde Act. So, you know, there are cuts that can be made. It's just whether or not the General Assembly has the tenacity and the courage to do it.
I know you've got to be somewhere in a few minutes, but I've got 2 more questions for you, if you don't mind. Will Illinois, I think I used the term last night, some type of retribution for not passing this. Of course, that some of that will be perception. And the reason why I think that is, well, they already came out, and the Lieutenant Governor says 20% across the board cut in Illinois for everything, 20% cut. That's what we're facing.
Well, and that's probably is what we're facing. And that, you know, the people that are saying 20% cuts across the board act like that, you know, like that's something that we shouldn't have already done. It is something that we should already do, and it is painful. I hope it doesn't have to be cut that deep. But obviously, if you don't have the money, you can't spend the money. And to your question about retribution, the fact is I already have a lot of personal experience in the fact that if you don't go along with Governor Pritzker, then he makes sure that you know you're not welcome at the table. And so, you know, we picked up a couple seats down here. We picked up the David Freese seat. We picked up the Amy Ehrlich seat. And we picked up some county races here that are going to be significant going forward. I think Governor Pritzker needs to get up this morning and realize that Southern Illinois is a force to be reckoned with.
Let's talk about that before I let you go. Republicans downstate Illinois, areas that had been Democrat for decades. We talking mm-hmm. about last night in Franklin County. Low turnout there, like 33% of the vote, surprised me. Mm-hmm. But you look at some of these seats, Williamson County's a good one. Except for Junior Burke, every Republican won. Now, if you were a Democrat and you didn't have a challenger, you won. You see this model across Southern Illinois, Republicans winning in Southern Illinois in areas that just a few short years ago would have been unthinkable.
That's true. And, you know, the challenge now is going to be very similar to what it was for the Republicans in 92 nationally. When you tell people that you're going to behave a certain way, you better by God behave that way. And so there's going to be a real challenge now for Republicans to basically act out fiscal conservatism and show people that we mean what we say. And that will be challenging going forward, because when you start talking about not giving people programs that are entitlements, they get very upset about that. And we're going to have to, you know, we're just going to have to do a lot of talking and explaining to people why it's necessary to make the cuts that are going to need to be made.
When do you go back to Springfield, and when will you be sworn in as senator?
Well, we're scheduled to go back November 17th for veto session. Sangamon County is now in mitigation along with the, you know, all 11 regions in the state. So we still don't know if veto session will happen. But we're scheduled to go back November 17th. We'll be sworn in, I think it's January 12th, 13th, something like that. It's mid-January. In the meantime, Senator Schimpf is still our senator, and I'm still the state rep of the 115th, and we're going to do our jobs every day.
Illinois Senator-elect and current state representative Terry Bryant. Terry, congratulations.
Thanks, Tom, and thanks to all the listeners for being so kind to me, and I will not let you down.
Harder to be a woman and do this?
Nah.
No?
It's got to be a tough one.
Yeah. I remember our first interview. You remember our first interview? You were running for, county board?
County board. It was a bit disastrous from my perspective.
How long ago was that?
Oh, man, maybe 10 years or more?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad, you know, because we've worked together for a long time.
I hope we work together for much longer.
And I'm glad to see you in the Senate representing the people of your district.
Thank you, Tom.